Thank you, Danny. You have to excuse me a minute. I've got dad flu today. If you're thinking, there's a really serious, by the way, it's worse than man flu. So we're continuing this series, Wisdom in Raising Children. Now, the good thing is my children are not here this morning. So I've got lots of little stories and things I haven't actually. But for those of you who don't know, I've got two girls. They're now 19 and 17. And I look at myself sometimes and think, how on earth have I got to this point of having them with that age? Because I still remember the day when I held them in my arms and looked in their eyes and wished the best for them and wanted life to be just amazing for all they could grow up to be, but just felt the overwhelming responsibility of raising children. For those of you who've got children, I don't know, am I alone in that? Maybe you felt the same thing. All the hopes and dreams. But also I found that over the years, it's actually probably the toughest and most challenging thing I've ever done. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I just feel totally helpless. There's been occasions when I just don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. When they're going through one of their many stages, I just cry out for wisdom from any place that I can to kind of help us in that. But then they look at you and give you a smile, or they hug you, or they give you a kiss and say, love you, Dad. And then they give you those eyes. Do you get those eyes as well? And then it just melts your heart and you crumble and it's like, it's all going to be fine. And then on top of that, as Christians, we believe children are a gift from God. And we then look for wisdom to raise our children. And we want them and pray for them to make a decision to follow him. And we want them to be excited about living out their faith for themselves. I don't think I'm alone in those kind of hopes and dreams. But I want to say today that maybe if you're here, or maybe if you're a single mum or you're struggling to raise your kids, you're doing okay. You know, it's going to be okay. You get through those stages. But for me, we're at a different stage now, and I don't think we ever stop worrying about our children, no matter what age they are. My eldest daughter now is driving, and she goes off to university in a couple of weeks' time. And even now, I want the best for her. I want to protect her from what the world throws at her. And I don't know about you for the same. I'd love a way that we can protect our children from the stains that this world throws at them. So I came across something the other day. Have you ever seen those Scotch Guard tins that you spray on something and all the stains repel? I would love something like that for our kids, wouldn't you? On their hearts and their minds, that we can kind of spray over, protect them. Because this is what it says. Multi-purpose protector forms an invisible barrier to protect your belongings from stains. Trust Scotch Guard to protect your important items. So I don't know about you, but I hope in the short time we've got together to be able to give us a little bit of wisdom about how we might help us do that and how we might protect our children a little bit. But I recognize there may also be some here today that you've maybe not got children, or maybe your children have already grown up. And perhaps you can take some of these principles that we're going to talk about with other parents or your nieces or nephews or grandchildren, okay? So I want to look at two main areas today. I want to look at what is our role of parents, and I also want to look at what is our role as a church. Now, when we look at parents and their role, boy, there are books out there, aren't there? There are massive amounts of books and wisdom and just expectations on all these things. So I'm going to try and look at three areas. Now, you'll be pleased to know they all begin with P, so you can remember them much easier, okay? So we're going to look at plan, prayer, and praise. Okay, that's quite easy, especially if you come to prayer and praise on a Monday, first Monday of the month, and you put plan in front of that, then you've got it remembered, haven't you, for the rest of the time. So when we look at plan, there's a really great book, and some of these books that I mentioned are available at the back. Nikki and Sula Lee have this great book, parenting book, and they have huge amounts of wisdom that they put in place over the various ages of children growing up. But one of the things that they say, which is absolutely critical, is that we have to plan family time with our children. We have to prioritize it above everything else because so many things vie for our time, especially work or other things. Now, I remember when my girls were younger, I used to travel a huge amount for my job. I used to travel across Europe and everything. And I would come back and even be away for a couple of days, and their faces would have changed so much in such a short space of time. And I was convincing myself that I was doing it for them. But actually, all they wanted was my time, my space. It's something I came to realize too late. But what I would encourage you is to plan time. Because if you don't plan it, it just gets squeezed out. And it also helps to create really good family traditions. We have these little things in our house, like we have a Friday film night that we have together. And it also doesn't have to be expensive. I remember we used to have some really great nights having a tent in the garden and having a sleepover in the garden. It was fantastic. But I would also encourage us, as Christians, to plan God time with our children. In Proverbs 22, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he was old, he'll not depart from it." Or another version is, "Start children off in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it." If you look up that phrase, train up or start up, it's amazing Old Testament conversations. It's actually a midwife would dip her finger in crushed dates and put it in the child's mouth to kind of stimulate their appetite for milk. So what this is saying to us as parents is that we need to train up, we need to whet our children's appetite for the things of God. And we need to lead them so that they have a hunger for those things of God. And that can be small things, like when ours were younger, we took a decision to take our children to a church that had a thriving children's work. And praise God, we have a lot of children here in this church. But also as we got older, we took our children to Spring Harvest. It's a Christian festival. We did it for about, 10 or 12 years in a row. And something about being in that environment with our children of that age, with other children of their age in a Christian environment, I think just helped to reinforce that point. So even when they were very little, just meeting and talking was a real major influence on them. The second P I want to look at is prayer. And one thing, if you're going to take away from this talk today, is I would encourage you to pray for your children every single day. Because for me, no matter what stage they're at, this is the greatest protection that we can put on our children, much better than Scotch Guard. But we pray for them and we pray with them. I remember with our two, when they were little, every night we would pray with them before they would go to bed, and we would encourage them to pray for us and with us as they got older, and we'd read the Bible with them as well. But let me tell you, people, I don't know about you, but it is hard. I remember one time we went on holiday, and I was like, come on, let's gather around, let's have a pray for our holiday, for our time together that God will really bless us. I don't know, they were about 6 or 4. And they went, no, no, no. And they just ran off. And it really makes your heart sink. And it's like, oh. But I would encourage you to keep persevering with it. And even if you can't pray with them, pray for them. And them seeing you praying for them has an amazing impact on them as well. There's an amazing book that we use quite a lot because sometimes you just don't know what to pray for your children. This book by Stormy O'Martin talks about or gives ideas about things to pray for. To pray for them to become the person that God created them to be. For their partner, for their friends, for them growing up, for their character. There's just a whole list of things. And there's even some prayers in there to help as well. And I would say to you today, it's never too late to start. If your children are older, or they're wayward and run off, and perhaps if they're wayward, you're probably praying for them more than those who are not. But I would pray for them every day. and start today, because God can make up for those lost years. So I want you to think about one thing now, and I'm going to come back to it a bit later. Maybe as parents or grandparents or friend or a teacher or an aunt or neighbor, I want you to commit to praying daily for a child. If you've got children of your own, it's easy for you to know their names in your head. But if you, I want you to think about today a child or two children that you're going to commit to pray for. They don't have to be in this church, but I want you to commit to praying for a child. So I want you to think about that, because I'm going to come back to it in a moment. The third P I'm going to look at now is praise. Now, I don't know about you, but when we talk to people, and I'm in a work environment, I find in a work environment, people respond really well to praise. But somehow, when it comes to our family, why do we find it so hard? Or am I the only one who finds it hard? I remember the other day, and by only my nails are a bit older, I came home from work, and we'd asked them to do a simple thing, and the dishwasher wasn't emptied. And there was stuff in the dishwasher zone, you know what I mean? And in the sink. And I was like, I've been at work all day, and I was like, right, I went rushing upstairs, I've been in their room all day, who's not emptied the dishwasher? I've been at work all day, can't you just do one simple job? I'm sure I'm really out of order, none of you ever do things like that. But actually, when I stopped and think about it, because we massive argument, World War III broke out, blaming each other, blaming me, and we wasn't clear about the message that we left, but actually it transpired, first of all, they'd been in the house with each other all day and hadn't killed each other. So that's a good thing as well. And the second thing was, they'd actually walked the dog. So, okay, you know, if we stop and think about it, because when you stop and praise your children, I don't know about you, but when we find that, it encourages them to do it again. If we encourage them and praise them that something that they've done well, they will do it again because they want to please us as parents. So what I want to do today is for you to think about, catch them doing something right and praise them for it. And constantly keep on praising and praising. Because you know what? It takes 3 or 4 times more times to praise a child than it does to criticize them. Because they will always remember the time when you've criticized them or said something to them, then they will remember the praise. So we have to be really, really on the praise. Because the other thing that praise does, and perhaps one of the hardest things we find as parents, is when we come to disciplining our children. Now that's a really whoa word, isn't it? But the Bible is really clear. In Proverbs, there are many verses. In Proverbs 22, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. You see, those of you who've got children will know that they are constantly pushing the boundaries, aren't they? It's like as if sometimes they stand there with their hands on their hips as if to go, so what are you going to do about that then? Yeah? Oh, dear me. But I've also found that actually when we praise our children, it makes things easier when we come to discipline them because we've got that relationship with them. And when we discipline them, we need to take our time, be patient, do it in a loving motive and never do it in anger. So, the three P's, can you remember what they are? We're going to plan time together with our families. We're going to plan God time with them. We're going to pray for our children every day, for all aspects of their life, for their friends, for their sphere of influence, if you like. We're going to praise them. We're going to catch them doing something right. We're going to praise because we know that praise makes disciplining easier. You with me so far? Good. I also mentioned the other part, I think, in wisdom in helping raise children is in the church. See, I think this church family provides help and support that will greatly enrich the life of our children and our parents. But for some of us, may feel like this book by Rob Parsons, we just hope and pray that we get our kids through church without them ending up hating God. It is hard, isn't it? But we have to take active steps from the very beginning, from when they're very little, to help them understand what it means at the age of 4 and 8 and 13 and 17 or older to be a part of God's kingdom work right here. And I believe as a church, we have a huge part to play. And praise God, this church takes children and young people really seriously, because we get wisdom in raising children from the youth and children's workers that we have in this church. It's a big investment, and it's a big and important part of the work that we do. I and Helen, my wife, we are really grateful for some of the godly youth and children's workers that we've had that have inputted into our children's lives over the years. So we need to pray for them and support them. The second area as well is that we need wisdom from other parents. Again, we've been really grateful from some people and parents, Christian parents, who've got children who are slightly older than our children. And I would encourage you, if you haven't done already, to find a family with children that are perhaps just 3, 4, 5 years older than yours. To meet together, pray together, talk together. Because actually, when you share that wisdom together, you start to find as a parent, thank goodness I'm not alone. Other families have gone through this. How did you deal with that situation? Or my little girl is going through this, or these friend issues. How do you deal with that? It's a really important thing we found has been really helpful to us. And also wisdom from other adults in the church. See, all of us, I believe, has a massive part to play in helping raise the children of this church. And we have a godly impact on a child's life. And we have a fantastic opportunity coming up with our church weekend away. For those conversations over a dinner table or in games or in the afternoon, or just we'll have a little bit of opportunity with other children in our church as adults. And we have the opportunity to speak into their lives, to find out and understand what's going on, that we can pray with them and pray for them. Now, what tends to happen in churches up and down the country when they come to talk about children or young people, they do these great talks and people get really enthusiastic and excited about it, and we see the church supporting parents, and then we kind of do nothing about it. But what I'm really pleased about is this church takes it so seriously that they are running parenting courses starting in November. So if you've got little children, or if you know people who want to have little children, starting on the 2nd of November, and then they're also going to put one on for young people as well who are a little bit older. And I will say these have been absolutely invaluable to me and as raising children. So as I conclude today, that's fine, don't worry. Do you want to come and join me? No. Now, as I conclude, we're not going to win this Scotch Guard battle of giving wisdom in raising our children if we don't plan our time with them, plan God time with them, if we don't praise our children and catch them doing something right, and if above all, we don't commit to praying for our children every day. But actually, it takes more than parents to raise godly children. It takes a family. It takes a large family. And I thank God that He has given us this church to be the family and blessed us all with the collective wisdom of raising our children. So do you remember I mentioned earlier on, if you've got the name of a child or children in your head, and you said to me, or we said together, that we were going to commit to praying for our children. So are you up for doing that now? To start right now as a commitment to say, from this day forward, I'm going to commit every day to pray for our children. So what I'm going to do in a minute, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to leave just a few seconds gap for you to add in your own prayers about that children, and then we'll finish together, okay? So let's bow our heads together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the precious gift of these children. We know you love them, and you have a plan for their life. We pray for each of them by name, that they will hunger after the things of God. They will want to spend time with you. We pray you will protect them from all this world has to throw at them. May they grow up to be mighty men and women of God, holding strong in their faith. And may you release the gifts and talents you have placed in them. So in a short time, please add your own prayers for them now. And all God's people said, Amen.